This is The Ticket. Thankfully, we don't have any loudmouth guys from the coast shouting you down. We're just the guys on the radio you know and love to hang out with all day. So, tune us in, turn it up, keep it on. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
212, it is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. And on our phone lines right now, it is so good. I feel like we've waited years for this chance. It is Omar. Michael K. Williams on our show. Michael, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm good. How are you feeling?
I'm doing very well, and if I accidentally call you Omar, please forgive me.
Yeah, it's all good. I've been called a lot worse.
What did Obama call you when you met him?
Yeah, he said where Omar at? I met him in Harrisburg at the during the primary election, and he had asked his Secret Service people if I could get to meet him. So they hooked it up. I was downstairs waiting for him, and my family was with me. So he comes in the room, and my cousin's wife goes, "You know, Hi Senator, I understand you said you know, why is your favorite show?" He goes, "Yes, that's correct." And then he goes, she goes, "Well, did you know? You said Omar was your favorite character." He goes, "Yes, that's correct." She goes, "Well, you know, Michael K. Williams is in the building." He goes, "Where Omar at? That's my man with a cold."
No kidding, man. That's incredible. Just I don't know why it's incredible to me that Obama watches The Wire, but you know, you're busy. You got a lot of things going politically, and
he wasn't president yet.
Okay, he was just running.
He had nothing going
but
on.
But it hit me that, you know, I kind of had that feeling anyway that it was going to happen. So it's like, you know, I got nervous, like, you know, before he came down, I could hear him upstairs wrapping up his speech. And I was like, this hit me. I'm like, I'm about to meet the future president of the United States. And I got starstruck, if you will. You know what I mean? I got nervous. And I didn't even know what to say when I met him. I just like, kept like mumbling.
you could have made the news if you tackled him or something.
Yeah, I would have been a lot more than the news had I touched him the wrong way.
You know, I wanted to say this to Omar. I'm sorry, Michael. Do you realize you're kind of like the Emmett Smith of actors? You're drafted. And let me tell you what I mean by that. You've heard of Emmett Smith, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so he wins all his Super Bowls, like, right away. And I suppose you'd want to be the Emmett Smith of actors, because you'd mean you'd have a lot of longevity. But you start out, and you have one of the most iconic television roles on what is critically known as one of the greatest shows in television history. Like
where do you go from there?
The bar you set is pretty high, dude. Now what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, you gotta now. Do you feel like I've got to exceed that each time, or do you? It's got to be tough. Like, or do you think this acting thing is easy? I guess I'm going to be great in everything.
I definitely don't say that. I don't take nothing for granted. you know, I take each job. I take each job. You know, for what it is. You know, I don't try to. You know, I don't try to go into any new situation, you know, trying to top the last job. You know, as a working actor, anybody would tell you, man, your most important thing is you want to stay working. You just want to do good work, you know, and be consistent in working. You know, if you put that pressure on yourself about trying to, you know, top your last performance, that could drive you crazy. You know, it's a blessing. I've even you know. You know, I was even called to portray a character like Omar. You know what I mean? That was a real good look, you know, especially very early on in my career. And the fact that, you know, it worked, you know what I mean? I ain't got no complaints with that. But I just take each job with face value and, you know, try to just, you know, stick to that. I don't try to bring anything from the past job into the new one.
You know, what's interesting about The Wire, and we were there from the get-go, but I really feel like it's one of those shows that takes on a life of its own almost after it's gone. And I don't have any idea the ratings and so forth, but if everyone was watching on Sunday night at 9 o'clock or whatever you guys came on with your new episodes that says they were watching, then I would imagine it would be the highest rated show. I mean, be more higher rated than even The Sopranos. I almost feel like it's so awesome, but it's one of those word of mouth awesome where you got to tell your friend, and then he starts at episode one on the DVDs and goes through it that way. You know.
You know that. I mean, I think that's what really that's where a lot of the love for the show came from, which I think in the DVD sales. You know, you know, if half the people who watched that show on DVD watched it when it was actually on, I think then we'd have had a real shot at maybe touching the Sopranos ratings, you know. But because it was a word of mouth thing, you know, by the time it really started to get around, it was already over and it was on DVD.
Like it's very, I mentioned even critically acclaimed and many listed as their top show of all time and definitely top five. But you guys never won any awards, right?
Yeah, no, we never won on, never was nominated.
Like, you weren't even nominated for Emmys or anything like that.
That's an outrage.
Well, I mean, I got an NAACP nomination. I didn't win. I think Wendell Pierce got one. He didn't win either. Idris Elba, he was nominated, didn't win. You know, it was all for NAACP, which is, I mean, I would have been more than happy to have won one of those as well too. But never an Emmy, never a Golden Globe, none of that stuff.
Here's
Screen Actors Guild Awards, nothing.
Here's a fun fact about Michael K. Williams, Omar from The Wire. He's, as you can tell, American, where half the guys we talk from The Wire are from jolly old England, aren't they?
Oh, no, only...
Well, we've had Stringer on. I know McNulty's from England, right?
Yeah.
Oh, those are the only two.
No. Idris Elba's from England. Dominic West's from England. And I forget the gentleman's name who plays the mayor. Plays Cuddy, Cuddy. He's also English.
Okay. All right. Very good. And we all know Snoop is not English.
Snoop is not from Now you, sure, you discovered Snoop?
Yeah. We met. We met at a local bar in Baltimore, and you know, I was at the bar trying to get a drink, and she caught my eye, and I immediately was intrigued by her. You know, I don't know if it was the alcohol or what, but I could not tell if she was, you know, a very aggressive woman or just a really pretty little boy, you know, in this club.
That wasn't the alcohol, dude. We were all there.
So I kept staring at her, and she saw me staring at her. She came over, she introduced herself, and she told me that she'd heard of the show. You know, and that she hadn't even watched it. She had just come home from prison, which she told me. And we just started kicking it. She immediately let me know that she was a grown woman and she was not into dudes because she didn't know what I was looking at her for. You know, but I was just stunned. And I just asked her to please call me. I had an instinct that she needed to meet the producers, she needed to be involved with The Wire because she was Baltimore. If I didn't know anything else, I knew that she was Baltimore. And I wanted to bridge that gap between her and the producers. And I didn't know if they were going to put her on the show as an actor or make her a PA or a writer. I had no idea what they were going to do with her, but I just know she needed to be involved with The Wire. And I asked her to call me that Monday, and she trusted me. I could have been some little drunk clown in the club trying to play her, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she trusted me, and she called me that Monday, and I was grateful for that because she trusted me enough to bring her to the producers, and the rest is history.
Which is, it's big time. She's got a book and everything, I think.
Yeah. You know, she's very charismatic. You know, she walk in a room and all eyes only go to her, man. And nothing she tries to do, it's just naturally her. You know, she has she's very passionate, very sensitive. You know, she has, you know, under that hard exterior, she's a very sweet, sweet, sweet young lady, man. And you know, I mean, I'm just very proud to have gotten to know her. And, you know what I mean? She's talented. You know, she studies with Robert Chu, who plays a Proposition Joe. She's been training with him as an actor. You know what I mean? So I expect a lot of big things from her in the future.
All right. It's Omar. Well, I hope you don't mind if we mention you as Omar, just because we've known you for so long as that. It's Michael K. Williams. Put this on the phone here.
I don't mind at all.
All right. I'm wondering on The Wire, did you guys, and by the way, I don't know if you've had a resurgence, but The Wire is on DirecTV 101 now. They're starting it from the beginning, running the whole series. It's, I think, airs Sunday nights, but tonight there's another replay of the first ever episode. So that's kind of a tie into why we're talking to you today, although we could have you on any day.
Well, since you mentioned that, I have to ask, when does Omar make his first appearance?
Episode 3, season 1.
Okay, episode three. I knew it was early. I just didn't think it was, you know, the pilot, which I just watched.
Is there any reality? Okay, I got a lot of stuff, but I just thought of this. Any reality base to your character? Because what we have here is the baddest ass whatever on the corner, or just a legendary figure that Omar is, and he's gay. And that kind of threw us for a loop when we first saw that, you know, like...
We've never seen that before.
Like, that seems to be a pretty macho position, that of a drug dealer and all that kind of stuff. Is there any reality based in the character of Omar?
Yes, a lot of reality based in that.
Like there was a legendary gay gangster or something?
Well, not the homosexuality part, but the character, the essence of the character is, you know, Omar was not a drug dealer. You know, he was a stick up kid, and it's based on a gentleman by the name of Darnell Anderson, who used to consult the writers. Donnie got arrested by Ed Burns about 20 some odd years ago before the show had come on, and you know. And through the course of time, years passed, you know, they developed a friendship, you know, and, you know, Ed used to tell him we're going to do a TV show about the things that went on, the events of the day in the streets of Baltimore, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, he used to consult these guys, Ed and David, from his jail cell, you know, in fact, they had went through a lot of trouble to get him released from prison. You know, there's a scene when Omar is in prison, and these two and the two guys come to him in his cell and give him the shank. I don't know if you remember that.
I'm trying to place it.
Yes, yeah, well, the only time Omar ever got arrested.
Yeah, yeah. It's just been a couple of years, but one of the two
guys that walks in the cell, the guy that actually gives him the shank, that's the real Omar.
Oh.
That's Donnie.
Wow.
And he says something in that cell, and Omar says, what you here for? What you went for?" And he says something, but he says I'm here for he calls a number. It's like a 2105. That's a real. That's a real, like a charge or a real something in jail in the court system, in the law systems, where if the judge gives you that number, I don't fully understand it, but it's real. That's not fiction. And in real life, this brother had this agreement with the judge, this number. Some type of way they charge you, and he got out on that actually, and he went straight from the prison to the set, and that's when I met him.
Nice.
Wow. They did that on the corner too.
He got released in season 3. Season 3 is when Donnie got released from prison. He came straight to the set.
They did that on the corner too. They would have the real Fran was in there and stuff.
Oh, that's
like
right.
That.
That's right.
You ever saw that miniseries?
You a fan of the corner?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah. In real life, you know, they're married. The real Fran and the real Omar in real life are married.
Whoa!
Really?
The real Omar is married to the real Fran? That's awesome.
They are. They've been happily married now for about 4 years. You know, they do a lot of positive work in the community out there in Baltimore. You know what I mean? Really, 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 really beautiful stuff.
Wow, that is cool. Mm-hmm. All right. A Baltimore listener of ours wants to ask you if you know anything about Chicken Trout, Go-Go, and Norma Jean's.
Oh, Norma Jean's. This is a family radio station.
Oh, really? I don't know what that. All right.
I know a lot about Norma Jean.
Okay, well,
is that the shake joint?
Chicken Trout.
Maybe we'll have to talk to you off the air. Or
is that the shake joint up there at Norma Jean's?
It's not a family radio station, but we're more rated, let's say, PG-13.
We're not HBO.
Yeah.
It's not
the club on Baltimore Street.
All right, back to, but as your character, let's get into the whistling thing, and I wanted to know, were you able to improv anything, or was it all, you know, absolutely written and you must do it as written, or were you free to develop the character a little bit?
You know, it definitely was a collaboration, but I got to tell you, as far as the writing and like any ad-libbing was concerned, it really wasn't. It wasn't necessary. The word on the page was just so, you know, full of life. It wasn't no need to. When a pot tastes good, no need to add salt to it if it's already seasoned. You know what I mean? It was It was well written. Nothing really to do with the writing. I didn't have to change anything. What I needed to do was learn the Baltimore dialect. It was my decision. I made a decision where I didn't want Omar to sound like a dude from Brooklyn. I mean, or from New York, any period. I wanted to sound, you know, like he was born and bred in Baltimore. So I had to learn the dialect. And once I learned the dialect, it made the writing flow a lot easier. You know, I didn't understand, you know, do tell and how do, you know what I mean? And then, you know what I mean? And certain things they would write. I'm like,
dude, 5-0.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Get out of the way.
You know what I'm saying?
Hold
you know,
on, Omar's
like,
gotta
you know,
go.
Because instead of saying what up, you know, they would call yo. They would use yo.
Are you being chased right now, Michael?
Have you.
Are you okay, Omar?
Michael? Are you being chased? We hear a police siren in the background.
I'm in Brooklyn, bro. That's how it be.
Oh, okay. I was like, has he got a burner? Is he?
I'm still in Brooklyn. I go. That's how it be.
All right.
That is awesome.
You're not in Hollywood. I thought you'd be in your mansion. Come on, dude.
All right, so,
when I get that $1 million check, you know what I mean? Hopefully I'll be coming soon.
Well, here's what's funny about the fact that when people meet you, at times I bet you they talk to you like you're Omar, and they kind of size you up in that way, and we can't separate a unbelievable role in TV or movie from the guy sometimes, and I guess that's part of being an actor. But as I'm watching The Wire for years, I kind of thought the scar on your face was makeup. I didn't know that was you. I didn't know that was part of your story or anything like that. And I wonder, as an actor, do you think that's going to be a detriment when you're trying to get parts? And then it turns out to be that distinctive thing that they said, we got to get this guy to play this role. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know neither, but it hasn't gotten in the way. You know what I mean? That's for sure. Definitely hasn't stopped anything, you know, from home. It hasn't been the reason why I haven't gotten a job. I don't know, but yeah.
Michael, I was really surprised to see Omar in Trapped in the Closet, the old R. Kelly music video. Now, do you get that often, that hip-hop opera, as they call it?
Man, I had so much fun, that joint, man. Robert was a trip. Dude is very hospitable. He showed me, like, he laid the carpet off for me in Chicago, man. We tore that city apart. Man, we had so much fun. I mean, impromptu concert in the rock and roll McDonald's, 2:00 in the morning. I mean, we had so much fun, man. We just get on this tour bus and just drive around town. But shooting that was real fun. That was the first time I got to laugh at myself, you know, and get paid for it. You know, so that I'm very proud of that. You know, and ironically, when I went to I shot something that was in Cape Town for 7 months last year, and you know, that was the main thing that they knew me for. Doing Trapped in the Closet, Trapped in the Closet. they knew my other movie, this film I did with Boris Kojo called Doing Hard Time. But like, The Wire was like a distant third. You know, it was like, oh my God, this thing from Trapped in the Closet. Doing the hard time. I was like, wow, it's crazy.
Are you still, do you still watch the music videos and get a little antsy, since that's what kind of inspired you a bit, watching Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation?
Yeah, I still watch music videos, man. You know, I still, you know what I mean? Just, you know, it's funny now. I look at videos and I have my own vision of what I would have done as a director, as opposed to wanting to dance them now.
Right.
But, you know, that comes from me being an actor now. But, yeah, I still love to watch music videos.
It's still hard to imagine Omar getting up.
So I probably still know them steps. I had studied those videos so hard. I knew them all. You know, it was funny because I'm watching the TV to learn them. So, like, when she would go left, I would go right because I'm watching it in reverse. But, you know
right.
what I mean? I probably still know a few of those steps if I, you know what I mean, if I burst up on them.
So, all right, so Scar is real. Is the gay real? Are you homosexual?
Nah, man. I'm sitting with my daughter right now watching TV.
Okay. Well, you're a great actor, dude. Because don't you have to make out with dudes and stuff?
Excuse me?
Didn't you have to make out with dudes?
Yeah, to kiss some dudes.
Yeah, but it's not like the peck on the cheek kiss that you'll see on Will and Grace or something like that.
I stuck my tongue right down, dude.
Yeah, full on.
Get this.
Got to sell that.
Get this.
Full
gotta
on.
Look real.
Yeah.
Got to play it. It's got to feel real.
Full on double rainbow. And that wasn't a dude that wasn't a chick that looked like a dude like Snoop.
No,
it was a dude.
That was a dude that looked like a dude.
Let me go back to whistling. Was the whistling thing improv?
Nah, that was all them. You know, but like if David or Ed would talk to you, they would say it was the farmer and the Dell, which is like, you know, in the beginning, you know, in season one, he goes to rob somebody. He goes to Cheese Stands Alone. That's a lyric from Farmer and the Dell. But in my mind, I always like to think of this cartoon character named Elmer Fudd, you know, and he would go hunting Bugs Bunny, you know, a hunting we will go. And that was more for my mind I was in.
That makes sense. Yeah, Elmar's out hunting.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes more.
Rabbit season.
And or duck season. I mean, who didn't grow up around Looney Tunes, right?
Rabbit season.
Yeah.
So, okay, Boardwalk Empire is your next big thing. And it's, I'll be honest with you, Michael, we need another show that's going to capture us and take us away to that special place because
I hope this is it.
I do too, man.
I really hope this will fill your appetite because a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into this show. A lot of hard work, a lot of money. You know, got a dope cast. I mean, HBO really they pulled out all the stops on this one. So I really hope it feeds your appetite.
When does that start?
September 19th, and I can't wait. I don't know what the hell is going on. They're so tight-lipped with the storyline. You know, we don't even know much is going on. I can tell you, you know, it's a little bit about my character, but as far as like all the other storylines, like it's not like, you know, it was on The Wire that they would let you read the script even if you wasn't in them. You get your script sent to you with this. You only read what you're in. So it's like, oh, man.
Do you play a gay stick-up man, or?
Yeah, Omar's uncle.
Right.
Nah. You know, been there, done that. We moving on now. Right. You know what I mean? This dude, his name is Chalky White, ironically, you know, and he's a gangster. You know what I'm saying? Just 1920s, Prohibition era, so you already know there
wasn't
too many, wasn't too many black gangsters walking around.
Did you say
dealing with, you know, white people and stuff? But he definitely holds it down for the you know, in Atlantic City back in the day was the black area was responsible for like 40% of the voting population, and Chalky White is the mayor of that area, which is called Chicken Bone Beach. You know what I mean? And so this is before casinos and all that stuff. So, you know, bootleg liquor, moonshine was the drug. You know, that was how you did your thing in the street. So, Chalky White, you know, has his own distillery, if you will, you know, and this is the beginning of the gangster. You get to see the birth of a lot of cool gangsters. You know, there's been a lot of shows on Al Capone and movies, excuse me, on Al Capone and Meyer Lansky and all these amazing, great gangsters, but you never see how they got their come up. You know what I mean? And this show deals with that.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Sounds awesome.
We'll be looking for Chalky White.
All right, Michael, may I ask you for one last thing? And we do appreciate all the time. Oh, and we wanted to promote your Twitter because that's how Bob found you. So
absolutely.
We need to get you more followers. Do you want more followers or no?
BKBMG. Twitter is BKBMG, or you can Facebook me at Michael Kenneth Williams, the official Michael Kenneth Williams fan page. What you want to ask me, man? No, I know. I'm not kissing dudes no more.
No. It has nothing to do with that. As far as the questions go,
he's
been
kind
there,
of fascinated with the idea, to be
been
honest.
Been there, done that. Yeah, I'm a little too interested, I think. No. It's you perhaps have done this before. It's our wacky radio liner. We would like you to introduce yourself and say, I never listened to Bob and Dan on the Ticket.
I never listened to Bob and Dan on the Ticket. Okay.
Yes.
Let me know you're ready.
Go ahead. Ready.
What up, Texas? This is Michael K. Williams, and I never listened to Bob and Dan.
Yeah.
That's it. Awesome, dude. Thank you, Michael.
Omar's leaving.
Thank you, man.
Wonderful to meet you. Thanks.
Enjoy your weekend, man. Peace.
All right, you too. There's...
Have a blessed day.
There he goes.
Shut up, Grooves.
How do?
What?
Let's hear how Tom deals with this guy. Oh, he's gone.
Yo, Holmes.
Smell you later.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Sir,
think we double up, or
what?
What
do you think the Aggies do this year?